Hey guys, Lady Luck here. Are you going on any road trips this summer? I know I'm going to be going on a bunch of road trips. And being that I'm going to be passenger princess, I love playing on SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest has all of my favorite slot games, live blackjack, live craps. Head on over to SpinQuest right now and get yourself a $30 coin pack for just $10.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Hey, Heartbreakers. Welcome back to another Breakdown bonus episode where we are talking all about the elusive spark. And joining me today is Christina Cipriani. She is a dating and relationships coach that specializes in helping women heal and attract healthy relationships. Thanks for joining me today.
Of course. I'm happy to be here.
So let's just get right into it. So this week we had an episode where we listened to somebody tell a story about how she decided to stay in a relationship that she shouldn't have, all because she thought that the spark really wasn't that important. I'm like, girl, I'm personally
confused by that.
I could never, but I think women especially, and I think it's just because of the imbalance in the dating pool for straight women specifically. Like, I feel like for every 10 girls that are like at least a 7, stable job, fun personality, there's like one eligible dude. And so I think girls have started kind of like, I don't know, we're trying to like compromise with ourselves. We're like, what can we, I don't want a guy who's going to cheat on me. So maybe I'll go with the guy that's nicer. At least he treats me well. And so she stays in this relationship because she's like, he is obsessed with me and I better that than like not, right?
I mean, I guess so. I think the word obsessed needs to be like evaluated, right? We want someone to love us. We want someone to like, of course, want us all the time, but we don't want to like borderline obsess where then it becomes like, I know that people do say though, we always want a man who loves us more than we love them.
Uh-huh.
That's said multiple times. But I think that when you think about relationships, you have to be kind of equally wanting to show up in that relationship. You have to equally want this person almost as much, if not just as much as they want you, I would say.
Okay, so what's your take on that? Like, do you think for a hetero relationship to work out, do you think the guy needs to be a little bit more interested? Like, is there some truth to that?
I mean, I know that my husband is head over heels for me. And there was a moment, though, where we did break up and I was chasing after him. But it's because, like, I just knew there wasn't, like, this magical spark that happened. There wasn't this like, oh my God, fireworks are going off and I just know that this is my person. It felt easy. It felt like, okay, he's reaching out to me. I want to reach out to him. I feel like I can be my true authentic self with this person and he's being his true authentic self with me. And I think that it was like, I know that he would do anything for me. And he knows that I would do anything for him, but he takes very good care of me. And I don't want to say that he loves me more than I love him. I think that that's not fair to say. But you can tell when a man is just like proud of you and he makes you feel like the only woman in the entire world. And like you just kind of know there's that difference between like anxiety versus your intuition where it just feels peaceful and it's not like chaotic. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Let's talk about that. When it comes to the spark, like the spark that everyone talks about, when you know type feeling, in a healthy way, what should that look like in a relationship where there's excitement, but it's not like something that's bogging you down and creating dread inside of you?
Well, first of all, you should never dread even wanting to hang out with the person that you're dating. Like you should be excited to see the person that you're dating. You should even borderline want to like for the first couple of months, pick them over your friends. Not that that's a forever thing, but it's like you lean into them. You lean into wanting to hang out with them and the conversation's easy. And the most important thing I feel like is you're not overthinking everything. You're not overthinking, well, what do I say? What do I text? Are they going to message me? Am I going to hear from them? Kind of a vibe. I think that the spark has been so, I don't want to say like, I don't know. I think that it's like we think that we're going to feel this amazing feeling with somebody. And then when it doesn't come, we cut that person off immediately instead of giving them the opportunity for the spark to kind of grow. Because you don't know someone in the first couple of times you meet them. You don't really know how they're going to treat you or how they're going to love you or how they're going to show up for you. That takes time to progress. So if you feel like it's kind of ebbing and flowing and it's easy and you want to be with them and they want to be with you, then those sparks will come. They will come. You just got to give it time. And we want instant gratification these days. We don't want
to
wait.
I try to quantify things to like make things work on a population level because so many people from so many different walks of life are going to hear this. So when you say the spark's going to grow, what phase in the relationship should you start to feel that like zazazoo that I talk about in Sex and the City?
I honestly feel like it's when you have your first fight and you overcome that first fight. Like, this is going to sound really weird, but we avoid the conflict at all costs. But when you know that you can have a hard conversation, get over and through that hard conversation, and then you find that it brings you closer together at the end of that, that's when I feel like, okay, like we can actually do this. This is like feeling really good for me, because we think that like conflict is doomed end all be all type of a moment. But conflict comes with relationships, right? You can't just stay status quo and perfect for forever, because someone's going to eventually speak up for what's not working for them, what they're craving a little bit more of. And so I think that this happens after the honeymoon phase. Like, you have the normal honeymoon phase excitement feelings, of course. Like, everyone has that where you just want to like sleep with each other and be with each other 24/7. But it's almost like that moment when you're like, okay, maybe I can actually be with this person for a long time. I think that it actually happens after you overcome like something really difficult that you didn't think that you could overcome together. I know it sounds weird, but I feel like it's true.
That is not at all the answer I was expecting. I thought you were going to say, well, like within like 3 to 4 months, you know, you've kind of gone through, because I always joke that the first 90 days of a relationship is kind of like the free trial period. Like, that's sort of everyone's kind of like feeling things out. But that's so interesting that after you have your first conflict, like that is when you should look for those sparks that are going to be a little bit more long term rather than just the short term gratification.
I know, because well, think about it this way, like life is going to ebb and flow and like things are going to happen in your life. And you don't want to find out that you're with somebody who, like, when you do have a fight with them, they're yelling, screaming, acting immature. You can't really have a conversation with them. It's really difficult. And then you kind of realize, like, how can I actually be with this person long term? The communication is just, like, not great. But when you can communicate with someone in a healthy way, when you can talk to them, when you can emotionally open up to them, like, that kind of triggers that little spark in you, because the spark is more than just physical. It's also extremely emotional. And it takes us a little while to be able to emotionally connect with somebody and be vulnerable with them and to have those hard conversations. But when you do, you're like, okay, like that feels kind of good.
Okay, so now I want to talk about the unhealthy sparks, because I think especially when someone doesn't like you as much as you want them to, it almost makes them a little bit more attractive in a very toxic way. So how can we identify that unhealthy spark that maybe we shouldn't lean into?
I feel like if you're operating from like desperation mode, or if you're always anxious, like if you are starting to like post on Instagram and post your stories and you're always looking at your stories to see if they've seen your story, or you're posting your stories solely for them, right? And you want that attention and you're craving that, just like, give me validation. Did they look at it kind of a thing? Or you're feeling really insecure within yourself and you start to feel like you're changing in order to fit into the box that you think that they want you to fit in, whether you change the way you dress or you change the way you talk. And, you know, we can have physical sparks with somebody, like that's natural, right? But I think that if you start noticing that you don't feel like you can be you, that's just a little bit, I would say, you know, a little bit unhealthy. There's a difference between changing versus growing. We can want to grow to become a better person and work on our communication and work on all of that. But if you find yourself changing in order to get their validation and it feels like you're playing a game with their attention, that's when I would say you're kind of borderline trying to like lean into that unhealthy toxic vibes a little bit.
You just described me to a T.
No.
The last couple of, I can't even call them situationships because they didn't go anywhere. The last time I had like feelings for somebody or excitement for somebody, It was the, oh my God, are they looking at my Instagram stories? Like, I not that I'm posting things specifically, but I'm posting things specifically that I know that they're interested in the hopes that like they're going to pay attention to me. Cause I'm like, I see the potential. I see we could have something. So like, just, you notice it.
You just said it. I mean, I see the potential. Right?
Oh my God, yes.
We often fall in love with their potential. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. But you want to at least see signs that the potential is potentialing. Like, does that make sense? Like, you want to see that they're like, okay, maybe I communicated that a little bit off. Let me like kind of apologize and correct that, right? You want to see that the potential is actually there, because none of us are perfect. Like, that would be silly for me to say. But I think that for in order for us to fall in love and say, oh my God, but they have so much potential. Okay, but like, where are you seeing that? How do you know that? Because you don't want to be anybody's mother, girl. You're not here trying to fix a man.
I can barely mother myself.
Hanging out at the pool is great. Relaxing and playing Vegas-style games on my phone at the same time. Drink in one hand and a blackjack in the other. It's all at SpinQuest. Over 1,000 games, including your favorite slots and table games. Be cool with this summer special. New players get $30 coin packs for 10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
I think a lot of, and we kind of touched on this in the very beginning, women, and I'm choosing my words here very particularly, I think we can lean into relationships that feel more safe, and maybe we don't wait for that spark. Like, do you think there's some kind of, again, I'm trying to be particular about my words without like insulting anybody's relationship, but like, do you think women should be holding out more for that? Or do you think there's something honorable about choosing someone that just feels safe?
It's a complicated question, right? I think that anytime we're triggered by something, our triggers are our teachers, right? I think that it depends on what kind of anxiety it's triggering within you. If it's triggering your anxiety to question your worth, to question who you are, to really feel like, well, they're not into me. Like, why am I chasing after this person? I think that that's not safe to stay in something that's comfortable, right? We don't want to always just be comfortable, of course. If it's triggering you in a way that's having you look at your triggers and be like, let my triggers be my teacher. Where is this trigger coming from? Is this like a past experience that I'm triggered by that I need to heal from? Maybe I need to grow from this and recognize it. Okay, I can feel anxious about this, but now I actually have to do the work within myself to kind of learn from that trigger and then talk to my partner about this trigger, see how they respond to that. That's where we get uncomfortable. And then that's where we grow, because then we're challenged a little bit to do that work within ourselves. So I think that if you get into a comfort zone and you're just constantly anxious and you're constantly worried because your partner's not doing anything to validate you or create a safe space for you, and you're staying just because it's comfortable and familiar, I would say like, girl, what are you doing? What are you doing? But if you're feeling anxious and triggered in a way that it's challenging you to grow and evolve and build something within yourself, and they create a safe space for you to be able to do that, that's uncomfortable, because it's always uncomfortable to grow. And that's the good stuff. We want that.
I love that you put so much focus on healing women so that they can focus on just attracting and not constantly chasing. Because I think, especially with high achieving women, like, this is the one area of my life I can't just go out and work harder, except on myself, and like make something happen. Like, I have to find somebody who likes me back, that I'm also attracted to, and is like fits into my life and I fit into their life. What would you say is like the number one thing, the most common thing that you see in women that they really have to work on internally before they actually find that person for themselves?
Oh, that's really hard. I think because we're always a work in progress. Like, I'm still a work in progress, like, to this day, and I specialize in this. But I really think that it's knowing who you are, knowing like your values, knowing what you will and will not tolerate in a relationship. So like, having healthy boundaries, I think, is super important. But that like comes with layers. That comes with being confident to set and to stick to those boundaries. That comes with you evaluating your past experiences of what made you feel uncomfortable and not safe in order to set those boundaries moving forward. So I think that it's literally just kind of giving yourself space to just explore who you are, to heal from your past, like break any unhealthy patterns. And that stuff takes time. And once you start that process, though, you'll start to realize a lot of different things. You'll start to recognize your relationship patterns. So you don't have to ever be fully healed to attract someone into your world, but you can start that process. You can start talking about it and get to some of the root causes of maybe like why our self-esteem is low, or why are we constantly only going after a certain type of person, or why are we so afraid to use our voice, or why are we always people-pleasing? So I think that it's, you just kind of have to like start with getting curious about like, who am I? Where did I come from? What did my past relationships really look like for me? And then how can I take that information and use it for myself moving forward? And you're going to realize that you become a lot more aware of when you're being like love bombed. You're going to become a lot more aware of when you're not feeling comfortable. You're going to become a lot more patient to realize that nobody's perfect and we can't get the ick at every little thing that's out there. You know, so I think that it's just solely deciding like maybe there's some things that I just need to learn about myself a little bit. And I just want to be curious and I'm going to explore that and see how it feels.
Speaking of the ick, as somebody who is a serial ick getter, what things are okay to get an ick about? Because at what point can I say maybe I'm just not into this person, or maybe I'm just not attracted to this person? Like I was yesterday, but I don't know, something about them today. Like, how can I gauge that in my life to know if I'm just getting the ick about somebody, or if I'm actually just showing myself that maybe I'm not actually attracted to this person as much as I thought I was?
Well, ask yourself, if this was in my situation and they got the ick for me for doing this, would I feel really bad about that? Like, you know what I mean? Because we want them to be just as graceful with us. Like, there's some things that I probably do that I give my husband the ick about, you know what I mean? But I would hate it if he just like wrote me off because I gave him the ick over something so small. So I think that you have to like reframe the question instead of always looking at the other person as they're giving you the ick. Like, flip it around. Be like, would I want someone to give me grace for this thing that I'm getting the ick about too? Right?
Very, very true. Circling back to healing and attracting a relationship, because I'm in that phase of my life where I'm like, I want a relationship and I think I'm ready for it. But then there are some days where I'm like, maybe I need to spend a deep dive, like 3 months of just like intensive therapy so that I'm actually ready and I'm not going to like hurt somebody else. Is there a way for you to be able to take an internal temperature for yourself and be like, okay, I think I'm, I know I still have things to work on, but I think I'm ready. Like, is there a way to kind of judge that? Are there questions I should be asking myself?
Ask yourself what the intention is behind dating, right? Am I dating because I'm lonely? Am I dating because like I want to spend my nights with somebody? Am I dating just because everybody else is dating right now and I feel like I have to be dating, right? Start asking yourself like what the intention behind dating actually is. Am I really ready to, you know, prioritize somebody else and also find balance within myself as well? I think that also when it comes to dating, like you don't have to go from 0 to 100 real quick. Like you can dip your toe in and see how it feels. Like always just calibrate it. So if you want to download an app, okay, you download an app. That's step one. I'm dipping my baby toe into the pool, right? And then you realize, okay, this is way too overwhelming. I'm not doing this. So then you take a little bit of a step back. You do some more healing and you do some more learning about yourself. And you're like, okay, maybe I'm ready. So then you kind of like put your whole leg in and you're like, maybe I'll go on a couple of dates. Maybe I'll talk to some people. And then you're like, this is feeling too overwhelming. Let me take a break and go back to myself for a little bit. Like you can ease your way into it. It doesn't have to be like all or nothing. Because I think people make that mistake where they're like, okay, I have to date. I have 5 dates this week. I have 6 dates next week. And we are just like going at it. But then that's when you like same thing with work. Like then you hit burnout and then you're like, I'm freaking over this because I just keep eating dud after dud after dud. And then it's not intentional anymore.
I know I go through phases like that all the time where I'm dating for like 2 months at a time. And then I'm like, I'm sick of going out with guys that I'm not into. And then I go through a phase where I don't want to date. And then I go, I should be dating. Like these are the years you're supposed to find somebody. So I feel like I've kind of found that middle ground where I'm like, I'm only going to go out with someone if I actually am somewhat like a reasonable amount of excited about it. Not like this is my soulmate, but I feel like I was doing the thing where I'm like, people say you got to give someone a chance. So I'm going to give this guy a chance. And then you give that guy a chance. And then you're like, that was 3 hours of my life. I'll never give.
Exactly. Exactly. But you probably learned something at least from that date, right? Maybe you're like, no, maybe he said that he was into this and that really didn't vibe with me. So I'm going to take that lesson and then I'm going to apply it moving forward.
Yep.
You know, dating is just when you intentionally date, it's different than just like dating to date because you feel like you have to. And when you intentionally date, you start to become a little bit more picky about who you want to choose your time with. You become a little bit more patient to realize first dates are awkward as if, right? You got to kind of like give it a, like two or three dates, like just two or three dates, unless it's completely horrible. But, you know, sometimes it takes a little more than once to decide and to judge somebody, you know? So
how many dates did it take for you and your now husband? I see that fat rock on your ring. How long did it take for you to really kind of feel like, oh, I think this is actually going to go somewhere?
You want to know something funny? So, well, we started dating and we met online. We met on OkCupid and we dated for like, I know, but it was back in 2014. It was like when online dating felt probably a little bit more easier than it does now. Like I can't, you know. But we met and we dated for 3 months and I knew that he was someone I really wanted to be with because it just felt effortless for me. And then he pulled the typical guy move and he broke up with me because he was like, I don't know if I'm ready to commit, blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, okay. So then I wasn't afraid during that time to tell him that I missed him and to, you know, post the occasional Instagram photo to get his attention. But, you know, he ended up coming back and then it took altogether like 9 months for him to make it like official. So I wasn't pressed. I was like, he's not going anywhere and I'm not going to pressure him. So it's never like, I feel like we rush for a title. We rush to have like that commitment. But you just, if you trust the person and you give it time, everything ends up working out. We didn't get engaged until 8 years later.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Well, good for you for waiting it out. I'm sure the relationship was worth the wait, obviously, because he's your forever person now. We've covered a lot of ground, but is there anything in regards to the spark or getting the ick that you think that we've missed or we haven't touched on?
I honestly think that when it comes to the spark, when it comes to the ick, just like always bring it back to you. Like it's going to sound so cliche, but it's like everything involves you at the end of the day, right? The people you attracted to your world is determined on how you feel about yourself and what you allow and what you don't allow. The spark that even we create when we're in a long-term relationship like has to do a lot with how we feel in our mind and our body and our souls as well. And I think like with the ick, be a little more patient with people. A little more patient with people. But also, you know, pay attention to things that just like feel wrong. Like don't use your head, use your gut, use your heart at the same time. You know what I mean? We all have to understand that like no one's perfect and we may deal with some things every now and then. So a little bit of compassion goes a long way, right?
Exactly. Well, thank you for coming on and sharing so much wisdom about the spark and the ick. I am trying my best to be more patient with people and myself. Is there anything you would like to plug, any projects or just your socials for people to find you on?
I mean, anybody who's in Seattle, I'm hosting a single Seattle event on June 7th. So if you want to follow me for details about that at The Relationship Boss on Instagram or on TikTok at Relationship Boss, feel free and DM me with any questions you may have if you want to follow up with anything.
Perfect. Sweet.
What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here. And you know what's more American than America's 250th birthday? Supporting American-owned companies like SpinQuest, America's number one social casino with over 1,000 games like Live Dealer Blackjack and Craps. They're offering new users a $30 coin package for just $10. Go to SpinQuest.com and sign up today.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.